Good morning. In our sanctuary, we witness the cycles of life. We had child dedications a few weeks ago, yesterday the memorial service of Doug Rayner, and next week that of Jonathan Adler. Last Sunday, the ordination of Barnaby Feeder into the Unitarian Universalist ministry, and today the coming of age of these eight young people. This place is made holy by your presence and witness. Our coming-of-age youth have faced a number of trials, ordeals that have given them an opportunity to reflect on life and their place in it. As they speak their credo statements this morning, that is, "This I believe in my heart," aloud and before you, it allows them to form an identity and to articulate the ideals for their lives that they can begin to consciously live into. Of course, their parents who have welcomed these young lives into their own and nurtured them well have been their primary source for how to live a good and worthy life. And we would like to honor the parents at this time, so would you please stand, parents of coming-of-agers. Please remain standing. Please remain standing. You will not be standing alone. You are their first and closest source, but not their only one. This congregation into which you brought them and entrusted them has been another. We would like to express our gratitude to all those teachers who have touched these lives along the way, helping our congregation to fulfill its promise to bring these young people up into lives of truth, beauty, and love. And especially at this moment, we would like to honor their mentors. So mentors, please rise. And lead teacher. And again, remain standing. And now all the religious education teachers who have taught these young people in their earlier grades, if we would have religious education teachers stand as well. This is truly a network of love and support that nurtures these young lives. Thank you. You may be seated. We trust that the coming of age process has helped our youth clarify their moral standards and understand their own spirituality, that bedrock of hope and trust. The time of adolescence presents us with two major questions that we must be able to answer to continue our journey successfully. Who am I, and where do I fit in? Certainly today, our graduates are well on their way to answering that first of these milestone questions. And certainly this is one place among many where they are welcomed and loved. In this sacred time and place that we share together, witnessing to the successful completion of these life tasks, I would ask that you hold your celebratory applause until the end of the service, when you will be free to show our youth just how much pride and joy we have for them today and in the days to come. Thank you.
Our ancient reading is from the book of Ecclesiastes. Some book in the Bible. There's a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search, and a time to give up. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, time for war, and a time for peace. Our modern reading is from The Fellowship of the Ring by J.R.R. Tolkien. Frodo began, "I wish it need not happened in my time." Gandalf replied, "So do I. So do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us."
Good morning. My name is Steve Ramsher, and I have served as Isaiah Brower's mentor. Isaiah has been blessed with a solid family, being the middle of three brothers, Michael the eldest, and John Wesley the youngest. Isaiah's parents, Andre and Amy, have created a safe environment for him to turn inward and focus on solitary pursuits, such as dubstep music and tap dancing. Isaiah is currently a freshman at Hudson School in Hoboken. He enjoys and excels in physics, his favorite subject. He is a young man who is curious about the workings of the world and questions until he gets to the bottom of the situation at hand. I have very high hopes for Isaiah. He is a thinker, a contemplative, and a wit, and he is guided by his own rhythm. When I think of Isaiah, I am reminded of a quote by Henry David Thoreau. "If a man does not keep pace with his companions, perhaps it is because he hears a different drummer. Let him step to the music which he hears, however measured or far away." Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Isaiah Brower.
What I realized through coming of age is how much I hate talking about my beliefs. It might be that I find these things very personal, more personal than others perhaps. I feel like some people think that religion is stupid and that any smart person will not say something supernatural exists without any proof or reason. I don't talk much about what I believe. I believe in God. I believe that God exists but does not intervene in daily events. I believe that God is everywhere and observes everything. I believe that the Bible has important spiritual ideas but should be viewed mainly as storytelling or metaphor, not literal account. I think that faith is important because it helps us cope with the struggles and hardships of life. I think that prayer is heard by God, but that no answer should necessarily be expected. I pray. I don't know if it works, but I do it anyway. I believe that prayer is a way to try to communicate with a higher power, but also a way to sort out your problems and deal with things in your life, to feel you have an influence on things you could never control. I feel like my prayers are heard, but I do not necessarily expect an answer. No one really knows what comes after death. I've heard many religious ideas as to what happens after someone dies, but right now my favorite belief is that there is an afterlife for the virtuous, but no hell. The evil simply cease to exist. I believe that evil is in the world because of human failings, like greed, and is not caused by supernatural beings like demons. I think that since many people get their beliefs from their culture or social circumstances, we should not judge those who hold beliefs different from ours. I think that science and religion can coexist, depending on which parts of science and religion we are talking about. If it's creation versus evolution, it would be hard to believe both at the same time. But if it's about the existence of God and how gravity works, it's a different story. I think a scientist can definitely be religious. Science-wise, I usually only believe in things that make sense to me. I believe in evolution because it is something I understand.
Good morning. I'm Judith Rue. As an RE teacher, I already knew that Abigail is a thoughtful and delightful presence in a classroom. What I've come to realize through these months working with her is what an amazing heart she has. She speaks with warmth and love about her mom and dad, her sister Anna, best friend Sam, and just about everyone else in her life. Abigail is a serious and goal-oriented student. She loves reading and writing and looks forward to a career involving books after college. She studies piano, as we just heard, sings in the school choir, and plays volleyball and softball. She volunteers regularly with special needs kids and plans to join the school newspaper. She makes lists. In fact, Abigail has a bucket list. She wants to learn to speak Spanish in addition to the Latin she studies, play the guitar, make varsity. She hopes to travel to Europe someday and live a while in New York City. One of her great pleasures is watching old movies and listening to music with her father, whom she greatly admires. As a parent myself, I have to say, good job, Allison. I believe Abigail is very spiritual. I look forward to hearing what she has to say today and even more to watching her grow into the amazing woman I know she will become. With the greatest pleasure, I give you Abigail Gardner.
I've always found it fascinating to learn about other religions, probably because I love learning about other cultures, and religion is a large part of that. My dad has played a big role in my spiritual development because he's just as interested in other cultures and religions as I am. Despite being introduced to the good parts of other religions, I have also seen the not-so-good sides. The sides of religion that start wars, make people harbor a deep-rooted hatred for each other, and inspire oppression. These are the reasons why I am skeptical about religion. I see people who have unshakable faith, and I sometimes scoff. Don't they know what religion can do to people? But at the same time, I admire them. There are times when I want to banish my skepticism and have that unquestioning faith in whatever I choose to believe. So, what do I believe? I believe in the power of words and the power of music to move people. Listening to music is probably when I feel the most spiritual, especially gospel music. Although I don't believe in what the lyrics are preaching, I find it powerful and moving. Even when I am just listening to a playlist of my favorite songs, I am often moved to think about what a wonderful thing music is and how amazing it is that humans can create it, how it can evoke a multitude of different emotions within you all at the same time. I believe that the world is too miraculous not to have had some hand in creation by a higher being. However, I do believe in evolution and the Big Bang Theory. I believe in science, but only to a certain point. There are so many amazing things in this world that shouldn't exist, that go against the laws of nature. Miraculous things that happen when the odds are very slim, like a mother becoming reunited with her lost child after a disastrous earthquake that separated them. It's things like these that make me believe there is a God. But at times I am skeptical about that too. Why would the loving God I picture existing let such bad things happen in the world? Despite this, I do believe there is a God, a loving, compassionate spirit that watches over the world. I also believe that there are angels of sorts. To me, these angels are the loved ones we knew who have already passed on. They watch over us from wherever we go after we die and make sure we are okay. I believe that after death there is not one specific place we all go to or one thing that happens to us all. I believe there is a sort of personal preference in the afterlife, that we have a choice in what happens to us. Want to be reincarnated? Sure, you can do that. Whatever an individual believes happens after they die, that's what happens. And the bad people, I think they just disappear. I don't wish torture or eternal fire and brimstone in hell on anyone. In fact, I don't even believe there is a hell. But the bad people don't get the option of living happily for eternity or getting reincarnated. They literally cease to exist. I can be a cynic and an optimist at the same time. There are times when I hear about a tragedy that has occurred and just about lose my faith in humanity. But then I try to see the good in people, because I do believe that people are generally good. They only become evil for reasons of their own. I believe that we have to make our own luck. We can't just sit around and wait for good things to come. But if we take initiative and begin to work towards our goals, maybe God will have a hand in making good things happen for us. Words that come to mind when I think of Unitarian Universalism are open-minded, accepting, loving, non-judgmental, compassionate. As you use, we respect each other's beliefs even if they may not match our own. We extend the hand of friendship to anyone, regardless of race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, or religion. I believe in the values of Unitarian Universalism, but at times I find it hard to uphold them. One of my goals in life is just to be a good person, someone that does not add to the problems of the world by judging or being intolerant of others. So I will continue to try and be open-minded and accept and respect others, no matter what they believe. Although I'm firm in the beliefs I hold now, I'm almost certain they will change as I grow. So I look forward to continuing to explore that stumper of a question: what do I believe?
Good morning. I'm Sabina Ernst, and for the past few months, I have been mentor to Fiona Kennan. I just found out last week that Fiona actually chose me to be her mentor. So for that, I say thank you, Fiona, for choosing me to share part of this journey with you. Thank you, because it has been a true pleasure getting to know Fiona. She's fun, exuberant, has many talents, always has a willing smile, and lives life with a kind heart. Fiona is the kind of person who can see wonder and beauty in the stars which fill a summer night sky. The kind of person who can look through darkness to find that tiny pinpoint of light and then see how its magnitude is much greater than what is first apparent. My wish for her is that she continues to find the beauty and love in all that surrounds her. May I introduce to you Fiona Kennan.
I sat at my computer screen watching the blinking cursor infinitely blink, and to be honest, not one single clue on how to begin this. I wasn't going to start with, "I believe," or some default generic introduction. That's not me. I think the entire point of these is to tell you all exactly, or not exactly, what I believe. And that would be a whole lot easier if I knew. I could have taken the easier way out and just gone with, "I don't believe in God, but I believe in something," approach, and that could very easily be the truth. Being human and being flawed and being a living, breathing body, the way my mind works is like no other. No identical mind or identical set of beliefs or morals exists in anyone else, which also makes this a lot more difficult, seeing as I can't really ask anyone for help writing this. Sure, I could let someone influence me, someone inspire me, and many people have. But to avoid a sneaky segue into explaining what I believe, it'd be a lot easier if I just jump right into it. I see life in a literal way. I believe in Earth and in energy and in love. This idea of a great man in the sky never has really set easily in my stomach. God is what some people call him and what sometimes people live by. To me, dedicating yourself to a man or to a thing you've no proof of even existing isn't my ideal way of finding truth or support. But for some people, it downright is, and that is another thing about standing here and saying what I believe. It's difficult to not slip and say something that could be offensive. Anyway, I believe in believers. I believe that people have the right to stand for what they believe. That is the beautiful thing about life. The variety and the questioning and the knowing and the not knowing. And while some are born into a set religion, I was not. I was born into a family where the only special thing about Sundays was that my dad made pancakes. Never exposed to anything even close to religion. And for that time being, I loved it. But the questioning and the not knowing can eventually drive someone insane. Digging deep into your mind's natural curiosity of what could be. Joining the bandwagon of Unitarian Universalists, the freedom to explore different religions from a young age is extremely important. Taking part in neighboring faiths is secretly but consistently molding you, and you subconsciously are already writing your credo statement in your head. You get to choose. I'm at that crucial age where it's becoming part of my journey into adulthood to choose, or at least attempt to. That is another thing about being part of this congregation. Everyone sitting in front of me, all of our older members, our new members, our children, we all get to choose. I hadn't seen the extreme importance of being able to choose until literally this year. It is easier to list the things you do not believe. Well, for me at least. That list would be never ending. The things I do believe are, they are there, but hidden and still forming. I believe in the expression of art and music. I consider change and alterations and options. I trust in the people who trust me. Before I joined the UU, I let society find its way of defining me. But now that I'm here, I find myself defining society. I find myself defining religion, but with no doubt having that be an open definition, with room for change, alterations, and options. I believe in the worth and peace of human beings. I believe that I have no idea what I completely believe in, but I know I have the rest of my life to explore the answers. Being human, I will never know everything I wish to know. And maybe that's the beauty of life, not knowing. Maybe, just possibly, things aren't meant to be known, but just to be embraced as the unknown and left at that.
Good morning. I'm Terry Cummings, and I'm very pleased to introduce Connor Laughlin to the congregation. I first met Connor a couple of years ago when he was in the OWL class that I teach with a group of other people in this congregation. OWL is the Our Whole Lives program, and Connor really impressed me and all of the facilitators with his intuition, his sense of justice, and his thoughtfulness. And I've watched Connor grow probably the last couple of years almost as a member of my own family. We've shared coming of age together, trips to Boston, and a lot of discussions about life and death and the meaning of God and what it is to be a Unitarian. And he's a very sensitive person who's searching for the truth all the time, and he's going to make a great, great contribution to our congregation. So please join me in welcoming Connor Laughlin.
I believe that no higher power controls us, that we as humans are independent and are free to make our own choices. Then what is the purpose of life? It is life itself. Life is a miracle, and everything from the smallest kitten to the largest sequoia tree is important. We as humans don't take advantage of life, this remarkable gift that we've all been given. People step on life, destroy forms of it, leave other forms of life in the dark, but all life is equally as valuable. Some people behave in a certain way in order to earn the respect of their deity in the afterlife. Doing something for reward is not a selfless act. I believe we need to create a better world today, not for hope of reward in an afterlife, but in hope of making the world a better place now. Those who only do good things to ensure an afterlife for themselves do not want to make a difference for others, but only for themselves. Something I find peculiar is time. It has been, and it will always be. It stops for no one, and it never looks back. If only we had more time, we could accomplish anything. If only we could control time, we could rewrite humanity's greatest mistakes. We could save those who perished and truly make the best decision. But we all exist in time. Life exists in the stream of time, and one day we will all leave it. Time, however, cannot simply be explained as cause and effect. We decide what we make with our time, but no matter what, time will continue. Time is not a higher power or something to be worshipped. Instead, time should be valued. It is precious. We should all try to use it to its full potential. This is why I'm disappointed with humanity. For all the potential we have, so many of us waste the time we're given. Two of my favorite fictional characters, the Doctor and Michael J. Caboose, have said, "Time isn't made of lines, it's made of circles." I think that this means time isn't so much a straight line, but a jumble of lines, more like a spider web. To me, that's what our Unitarian principle of the interconnected web of life is really all about.
Good morning. I'm Nancy Felix, and I'm Callum Middlemiss's mentor. All right, I have 30 seconds to describe the essence of Callum. Blimey, that's hard, but let's give it an anti-clockwise swing around the roundabout. So Callum is half English. His dad, Paul, is from the UK, and this has influenced he and his family just a bit. So before we hear from Callum, you need to know a few things about him. Man U is his footy club. Callum spends most of his time on a pitch in his kit and trainers. He can dribble a soccer ball like jiggery-pokery. He's a cracking student. He has a mom, a dad, and a brother named Ben. He also has two moggies, one named Harry and one named Templeton. Harry is nutters and likes to nibble on Callum's hair. Wait, I am speaking English, right? For those of you having a hard time, there's a glossary of terms in your order of service. So I met Callum and his family when he was attending the same nursery school as my boys. Paul, Callum's dad, and my husband Mark once built a boat entirely made of cardboard and duct tape and paddled around the Chesapeake Bay. Now that is nutters. I like to think that I was the one who introduced the Middlemisses to the UU, and I've seen Callum grow from a baby to the young man you see before you today. So back to that essence, the distillation of 15 years. What you see today is a mature young man passionate about his family, his heritage, and his interests. Soccer. Did I mention he plays soccer? Here's Callum.
I believe. Never an easy sentence to complete. Nevertheless, this is what we were asked to find within ourselves over these last few months. I have thought and thought about it, and come up with many reasons that many things could be true. In the world in which we live, things happen we cannot explain. Things that support the evidence that there is a God or many gods, or that there are devils and angels, and so for a while that is what I believed. Then I looked closer, and I saw events and people that made me wonder if there really were any of these things. If there really were a God, why would they let such horrible atrocities and unjust behavior spread across the planet? So I changed my thinking yet again, deciding to believe there was no God or any other mystical power or forces in the world. But still, this didn't sit with me, because after all, I had already found instances where there was evidence of higher powers. So what could I be missing? Then I saw it, the one thing that all events in human history have in common. Humans. In the end, we choose to believe what we want, and we can follow any religious code in any country, but we can control everything. Almost all of what exists now can be traced back and is touched by humans, except for in a few rare instances. And in the end, it is only humans who can stop humans from destroying the planet, and only humans who can destroy it. All of our futures and everything we know rides on our decisions, not a supreme power. It is okay to believe in anything as long as in the end what you do is right and best for all people, equally and fairly, with no discrimination, whether you do it for God, gods, nature, a place in an afterlife that may or may not be there, or anything else or anyone else. No matter what it is, the only person who can be held responsible for your actions is you.
Good morning. My name is David Hanley. It's been my distinct privilege to be a mentor to Jack Nolte in this year's UU Coming of Age program. I was not sure of the expectations of the program and of Jack, but I knew it would be interesting. Jack has been a pleasure to work with. He has been very easy to talk with and attentive in our discussions. Our sessions seem to fly by, with one of us finally having to say we have to go. They have also been revealing to me for re-examining values, passing on nuggets of wisdom and to someone much younger, and once again, taking a look at what it feels to grow up as a teenager, in a teenager's perspective. What I've seen in Jack is a passion for whatever he's doing. He seems to give all of whatever he undertakes, and he pays attention to details. He has a very healthy understanding of commitment, as he is a member of a crew who rows on the Passaic River. Jack sees the advantages of working as a member of a team, understanding how to give and take, and working together really required to be successful. In the craft they use, there is teamwork, following a leader, fighting against currents, and helping a squad be successful using the difference in each other to make one highly functional group. These are the type of lessons that we carry into adulthood and instill us in how to cope with changing situations to be successful. Jack is very family-oriented. I find this as a testament to his parents as well as an understanding on his part of the value of enjoying your family, and especially in your teen years. I hear excitement in Jack's voice whenever he tells me a story. It starts with, "Me and my family were," and then he leads to a tale of doing something that he smiles about as he tells the story, and usually finishes with, "We had a great time." This is what real memories are made of. These adventures are the building blocks of a foundation to expand as he moves forward in life. I'm very happy to have been a part of that growth and transition. It's great the congregation has programs like this, and even better, the teens here understand the importance of and potential of their growth to participate in it. I know for me it was an opportunity to pass on some of my knowledge, discuss current events, and how it relates to the teachings that we receive here. It forced me to take stock in my perspective and the way of dealing with issues. For that, I thank the congregation for the program and Jack for taking the journey with me. I say to any teen contemplating getting in the program, do not hesitate. It is an opportunity that you will regret if you don't take advantage of it like Jack did. I now present to you Jack Nolte.
Religious belief is a strange thing. It can inspire people to do great things, but could also be used to justify prejudice. Often, people rely on the same religious beliefs to support totally opposite positions. For example, Martin Luther King Jr. used the teachings of Christianity as the moral basis in the fight for equality for African Americans. Others, however, rely on the same religious beliefs to justify inequality, such as seeking to prevent marriage equality. I've been exposed to many different belief systems, including through my coming-of-age classes and my Jesuit high school, St. Peter's Prep. While I have learned through my classmates, teachers, family, and others, my own beliefs are separate and independent. I do not believe that morality is or should be dependent upon fearing punishment or seeking reward from any higher power. Even Santa Claus says, we should just be good for goodness sakes. I do not believe that there is any proof of the existence of any higher power. I also do not believe that such a belief is necessary for people to treat each other with kindness and respect. In fact, God and religious dogma are more often used as justification or excuse for harming people than as a reason for doing good. I believe that we would all benefit if people would more often separate morality from religion. My views may well change. I may become a born-again Christian, a Scientologist, or believe our lives are controlled by the giant spaghetti monster. Right now, though, I do not feel a need to believe in something supernatural or unknowable. While I respect others' views on morality and religion, I believe we can and must treat each other fairly and kindly, and that religion is not necessary for humanity to achieve this goal.
Good morning. My name is Moja Francis, and I am pleased to introduce Sophia Seidenberg today as she presents her credo to the congregation. I first met Sophia when she was 5 years old at the Rand School. She immediately struck me as a smart, talented, and civic-minded child. I remember her always being kind and fair to her classmates at a tender age. She was always wise beyond her years and curious about the world around her. This curiosity would evolve for Sophia. She has visited countries such as Costa Rica, Switzerland, Italy, France with her family. These visits to different countries and her extended family have allowed her to see how different cultures live, eat, worship, all while allowing her to develop her own breadth and understanding of life, love, and faith. It has been a pleasure to work with Sophia these past few months and become acquainted with her on a more spiritual level. I anticipate she will continue to thrive and shine in her young adulthood and beyond. As a fellow UU mother, community member, it has been an honor to support Sophia Seidenberg in the Coming of Age program.
When I was first asked what I believe, my immediate response was, not much. The more I thought about the question, my interpretation changed. I decided it wasn't asking about my inexistent belief in a god, a prophet, or a religion, but my philosophy. So today I will share with you a sliver of my philosophy and beliefs on life. I believe in learning. Learning is something everyone does. It brings us knowledge, which influences our actions. I believe people are good, but can learn bad behaviors. I believe knowledge is the greatest tool one can possess. I believe education will solve the world's greatest problems. I believe violence and hatred are side effects of ignorance, and if we took the time to learn about one another, violence and hatred would be diminished. I believe education can one day overcome oppression if we want it to. I believe that we are a combination of the knowledge we acquire and the decisions we make. Life is a series of decisions. Sometimes the little decisions are the ones that make the biggest difference. Choosing which school to attend, people to befriend, and activities to participate in have shaped who I am. I used to believe in the saying, everything happens for a reason. Now I understand where that saying comes from, how everything that happens to me affects my future, which becomes my reality, and all the events in my life and decisions I make become the reason I am who I am. I believe that there is value in everyone. I believe that we are not born with a reason for being on this earth, but create a reason ourselves by exploring who we are. I believe that everyone has a responsibility to make the world a better place.
Small actions, like making someone smile or recycling, can have the same meaning as donating a large sum to charity or helping a town recover from a natural disaster. Not everyone is capable of helping equal amounts. The most important factor is effort. If you help others when you can, help will be available when you need it. What goes around comes around. When I was first asked what I believe, I couldn't imagine articulating it without also sharing what I don't believe. After putting it all on paper, I realized that I don't have to tell you what I don't believe. Based on what I've just shared, you can fill in the blanks on your own.
I'm Ann Saylor, and I have had the pleasure to mentor Aaron Silverman in this process. Science class was boring, Aaron told me one day, and to bring the genetics of lactose intolerance to life, Aaron doodled little milk cartons and cheese wedges and ice cream cones in the margins of her notebook. If you put a marker in Aaron's hand and there's a piece of paper nearby, she'll create a graphic explosion that will stop you in your tracks. She draws with bold, smooth strokes that radiate quiet confidence and invite you to smile. And that's telling about who Aaron is as a person, too. She's a bold thinker with a ready smile who acts with a sense of purpose and drive. Over lunch one day, Aaron skipped all small talk and dove right into the plight of North Koreans. When talking about death, Aaron wasted no time on fear and worry, but focused instead on the importance of mindfully living each day. Aaron introduced me to a lyric by the singer Taylor Swift, and I'll paraphrase. If you know how you feel, and you know what you need to say, I think you should speak now. I know that Aaron will go through life speaking now, through her words, through her presence, and through the marks that she leaves on every nearby piece of paper. And now I give you Aaron Silverman.
I can't believe I finally got here. It seems like just a year ago, I was down in the basement learning about Bible stories, finger painting, and coming out of class covered in glitter. And now, look at me, I'm all grown up. I've never really had time to think about my beliefs until this year. I mean, I've always known that I've had strong beliefs, I just wasn't quite sure what they were. After sifting through my thoughts, I've come to realize that I believe in many things. As a Unitarian Universalist, we have to ask the hard questions. Growing up, most kids are told what to believe in. But as a UU, that isn't the case. Charlie once said that Unitarian Universalists are like the clear Lego of religion. You can put any color behind it and it will shine through. It's not about the actual substance, but the reasoning behind it. I believe that you can do anything you set your mind to. Growing up in my family, I was never doubted. For 6 years, I took dance classes. First it was ballet, then modern, and then hip hop. The entire time, my mom would come to all my recitals, take me to every practice, and tell me my moves were unbeatable. I don't know how she managed all this, because looking back now, I realize I have absolutely no rhythm, and dancing is definitely not my thing. When I told my father I wanted to go to Stanford University, instead of telling me to stop dreaming, he helped me sort out my priorities so I could reach that goal. I'm thankful that I grew up in such a supportive family because they have molded me into the person I am today. I believe it is important to live your life to the fullest because you are only given one. I'm not afraid of death, but leaving this world unfulfilled with things still left to do. I feel that there is someone or something out there that is helping me live my life. A big man in the sky has never been my image of God. At first, I thought this must mean that I was atheist, but now I see I do believe in God, although it might be different than what others think. God is like the Queen of England, a figurehead that people look up to, but in actuality holds little power. We control our own lives and our actions determine whether or not we will be rewarded. God is only there to oversee the whole world and give people hope. It's comforting to know that there's always someone that is trying to help you and that you can seek advice from. I'm still not 100% sure of what I believe in, but lives change like the weather, so as long as I'm changing, so will my opinions on life and my beliefs.
Wow. Wow. It's such an amazing experience. I'm going to stand right here so that I can be close to these guys as I do this. And I just want to take a second to explain what the Right Hand of Fellowship is about, because it comes from deep in the history of our tradition. The Right Hand of Fellowship on the Unitarian side of our tradition was an act that occurred at ordinations of new clergy as clergy welcomed one another into the clergy, since ordinance were ordained by congregations there in order for clergy, fellow clergy, to have a role in the ceremony. They created the right hand of fellowship, and in that right hand of the fellowship is the welcoming of you into the ministry, the small m, into the work of our religious tradition. So that's the tradition. There are three texts that you've heard me say here a number of times that I want to cite as part of my right hand of fellowship piece to you. Three things. One of them is something that we say every week, and two of them are things that we say at different occasions. One of the first one that I want to cite is when we're welcoming new members to the congregation, we say that we are welcoming you into a congregation of aspiration, of high ideals and reaching, and we are not welcoming you into a congregation of people who have it all figured out, that being in religious community is knowing that we will fall down and being there to pick each other up. And for this, I would cite our opening hymn that we did, Let It Be a Dance, and I'll leave it to you to wonder if I made a mistake on the order of the verses on purpose for the sake of this right hand of fellowship, or if in fact it was a mistake. But what I want you to notice from that experience is that the loving congregation, including you, was right there to go right along with it, and we held each other together in that song, and I didn't notice any wane in the energy or the exuberance of singing Let It Be a Dance, whatever the order of the lyrics were. So that's the first one. The second one is I would like to, some of you I had the honor of dedicating as babies when you were little in this congregation. And when we dedicate babies, I use water and we touch the eye and the mouth and the hands. And you know that I say that I touch the eye so that you might see what there is in the world for you to see. I touch your mouth so that you might say what there is to say. And I touch your hands so that you might do the work of the world that's waiting for you to do. And the underlying meaning of that for me is keep your eyes open. The world is an amazing, amazing place, and allow the beauty and the amazement of the world to fill you with awe. And the mouth, you are each very creative people. Say what needs to be said. Do the art that is there to be created. Use your creativity to make the world the place that you need and want it to be. And finally, the work of your hands, because there is so much work that needs to be done. And then I want to cite our mission statement that we say at the beginning of every service, that this is a liberal religious community seeking transformation in our hearts, our homes, our community, and our world. And what I want to say about that is transformation occurs by love. All of you have stated your beliefs and you have taken different looks at love and the way that it plays a role in your lives and in the way that you look at the world, and it's about taking that love into the world. So if there's going to be transformation in our hearts, our homes, our community, and our world, the way that we go about that is through love. And so each of these three things that I'm citing this morning to you in the right hand of fellowship is about love. And it's about taking the love that's being offered by your parents, your mentors, your teachers, your ministers, taking that love and owning it, and then mixing it with the love that you have, from what you see and from what you create and from the work that you do, mixing the love that you're given with the love that you can create, and then taking that love into the world and making it, recognizing the world as a wonderful place, and then making it even better for those who follow. So I welcome you.
We are never complete. We are never finished. We are always yet to be. May we always allow others to be, and help and enable each other to grow toward all that we are capable of becoming. May the prayers of our hearts and the songs of our lips, shared in this holy hour of worship, be with us now in all the days to come. As we extinguish our chalice, our worship has ended. Let our service begin.